Can you believe what that person said? I mean, how stupid do you have to be? Man, did you hear about that politician? Man, I don't know if they're really American. Man, there's just so much stupidity out there. How can we not call it out? Wait a minute. Is that a good response? Let's talk about our response to this crazy world right here on the corner of truth and life. Hello and welcome to the Corner of Truth and Life. This is Ira Hall. You know, there's never an end to the things that you can get upset about. And it seems like in this day and age that we maybe get upset a little more easily, but you know, maybe that's just us. Maybe it's always been that way. I do think that with the rise of digital and social media, with much quicker communication over greater distances and therefore also greater volume. I don't mean sound wise, but just the amount of communication. It does allow the amount of outrage to pile up a little higher. This week, as we're recording this show, this podcast, the news in the Farmington area, if you're local to us, is the latest controversy go around about a home for the homeless shelter, a home for the homeless shelter. And just, you know, and man, scroll through the comments and outrage. One side or the other, it really doesn't matter. And either, boy, the people who objected are terrible, or the people who are objecting to the objectors are terrible. I mean, it never quite ends. It never comes to an end. And it's such a thing. And so we have to decide now, what do we do with all this tremendous volume of outrage, all this tremendous amount of upsetness, and then just the actions of a lot of unsmart people or people who don't seem to be making good choices. I mean, there is no shortage of that. So what do we do with that? And what's a person to do, whether it's on social media or just in life? What do we do about that? So, So here's the thought. And it's, you know, Corner Truth in Life. We want to look at the truth. We want to look at the Bible. And does it give us guidance and help that can actually change how we live in a way that makes a discernible difference and might help us? So the first thing to think about is, so when Jesus came, now Jesus came and he came and lived on the earth at a time when there was a lot of division. And maybe that's because humans always are divided. But he came at a time when he was born into Israel, at a time when Israel was a conquered country and part of the greater Roman Empire. And that inclusion, its inclusion in the Roman Empire, was unstable at best. The Jews, of course, believing themselves to be God's people, that's what God had told them, and the Jews felt that they didn't really want to be under anybody else, as, you know, and who does? And so there was a lot of unrest against the authorities, and such that the Romans really valued having things be quiet and orderly. They just, you know, we don't have to invade and put rebellions down. Just so the Roman officials, their big goal was to try to just keep everyone quiet, which is why if you read through the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the story of Jesus, you can see that part of what happens is after a while, the Jews kick up such a fuss that the Roman officials, Pilate in particular, is like, okay, what do you want me to do? Just shut up. And they say, well, we want to kill Jesus. He's like, fine. go kill him. Because he doesn't want Rome to get on his case. And later, you'll see officials struggling with this new movement that starts with Jesus, that's called the church eventually, and the Apostle Paul. And they're like, oh man, what do we do with these guys? Because it's causing disruption. And there was even riots as the Jews started protesting the Jesus movement, as they had protested Jesus. So there's all this unrest and unhappiness. And of course, the Romans came in and they hired people to do their work, as any government does. So you had Jews and Gentiles working in Israel for Rome. So like Matthew, he was a tax collector, and whether he collected taxes for Rome or for the temple, either way, he worked for the government. And of course, Paul worked for the Jewish government. But there was tension between the Jewish government and the Roman government, and there was all this. And then Jesus steps into the middle of this, and there was tension between different religious sects, and there was tension between the different classes of people. And Jesus steps into the middle of this. And of course, one of his teachings is, hey, love your neighbor as yourself. He says you need to treat others well, and you need to die to self. And this was, that'd be tough teaching. And of course, then when they arrest him on false charges, he doesn't get a petition going. He doesn't give a fiery speech. He's a really good teacher. He's been able to attract huge crowds, and instead he doesn't say anything. And doesn't raise up. And even Pilate at one point says, well, I thought you had a big following, all that. And he says, listen, Pilate, this isn't my kingdom. My kingdom is not from this world. It's not made up of this world. If it was, then my followers would be fighting. But as it is, this isn't what I'm building. He wasn't trying to build an earthly kingdom. And if anybody could, Jesus coulda. But that's not why he had come. And so he steps into a time of great division. He steps into a time of great problems, and he doesn't raise a fuss. Instead, he goes around and he heals people, and he feeds people, and he teaches people, and he calls them to something different. Now, in our day and age, we are in a time in America, at least, and really around the world, of a lot of division. You have the rise of the right, the rise of the left, liberal, conservative, alt-right. It's just all over the place. And so often we're tempted to ride into the middle of it and start yelling too. We bring our torch to the bonfire and throw in our own thing. And it doesn't help. So there's an interesting thing, and we studied this recently at church, Psalm 1. It says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the way of the wicked, stand in the path of sinners, sit in the seat of scoffers. And it's talking about with people who are doing the wrong thing and attacking other people. It says, but his delight, what he gets excited about, his passion is the law of the Lord. And it doesn't mean the Old Testament law. It means the whole teaching, everything, including the law, but just the whole law of the Lord, what God has taught us. And on that, he thinks about it day and night. He meditates on it. So it's not even just thinks about it. This is what he lives by. And it says, he will be like a tree that's firmly planted. He won't wither. He'll give fruit in season. He won't dry out. And that's a really good picture of where we can find ourselves in this day and age, because, man, you listen to just all the comments and all the negativity and all the tearing apart of each other, and it can just crush your spirit. It can just crush your spirit because it dries you out. People ripping at each other and blaming each other and insulting each other and back and forth it goes. and nothing positive. And you go on Facebook, and there's a lot of that. You know, the Republicans are attacking the Democrats. The Democrats are attacking the Republicans, and some people are just attacking everybody, and they're so stupid. You know, all those Trump supporters, they're racist. All those liberals, they're unpatriotic. And just around it goes, and I don't know, maybe it doesn't bother you, but to me, it just, after a while, it just makes you sick. It does make me feel dried out. And the Bible says there's something better to focus on. There's something better to dwell on than the evil and corruption of this world. It doesn't mean that we turn a blind eye to bad things. It doesn't mean that. And Jesus didn't. Jesus didn't turn a blind eye to bad things. In fact, he stepped in. He was active. He went to people who were hurting. He went to people who needed stuff. He addressed many issues. What he didn't do is tear apart other people while doing it. Now, he did call out the Pharisees. But even there, he wasn't just tearing them down for the sake of tearing them down. He was trying to get through to them that, listen, you need to change. And some Pharisees actually heard him and came to him, and some began to follow him. Because his goal wasn't to find a scapegoat. His goal wasn't to find a convenient foil that he could just rail against. He said, we need to care for people. And several times you see him saying to the Pharisees, listen, you need to care for people, dudes. Come on. I wish that you would. And yet, he proclaims again and again hope. He proclaims again and again that he is trying to help, and that he's bringing the love of God, something that can change the world, what was going to be his death, to save the world. So in this day and age, as we ride into the middle of these controversies, whether they be something local like in our area right now, the homeless shelter, or national politics, or international politics, we shouldn't close our eyes their problems. We shouldn't hold back from facing hard truths. And we shouldn't even hold back from stating uncomfortable truths that need to be stated. But what do we dwell on? And are we bringing torches to a bonfire as opposed to buckets of water? Are we proclaiming hope and solutions? Are we looking for such things? Are we loving our neighbor, maybe our neighbor who totally disagrees with us and we think is totally wrong? Are we loving our neighbor as ourself? Because that's really the key. And that's what we need to do. And it will make such a difference, not just in our world, it'll make a difference in your world, in your life. Because it will keep you from getting so dried out and feeling so discouraged and so just angry. Or bitter, and looking at the world and going, oh, this place stinks. And instead you can say, you know what? I can still do good. And that's where really, if we turn to God and let him love us, even though we're wrong, it's going to help us love other people. It's going to help us change, because he will begin to change us, and then we can change the world, or he will change the world through us. So what are you dwelling on this week? What are you allowing to be the center of your attention? And then what are you putting out there for others to dwell on? How are you speaking and dwelling about your world?
Thank you for listening to the Corner of Truth and Life. This has been a broadcast of the Beans Corner Baptist Church. We would love to have you join us each Sunday morning at 8 a.m. or 10 a.m. for a service of music, celebration, and teaching. To listen to this show, other shows, messages, get announcements and updates, please visit us on the web at beanscorner.org or visit our Facebook page. Thank you for listening. We remind you to seek truth. This has been Pastor Ira Hall. Have a great day.